1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, the Bible says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? I think last Sunday night, Judgment Seat of Christ, I had mentioned about being at A&M, being in the Corps of Cadets, and every morning we had a formation, every evening we had a formation, and there was a certain song that was played that was bugled with that trumpet, and you knew that that meant it's breakfast time, or you knew that that meant that it's supper time. It has to give a distinct sound. Verse 8, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Now I'm going to take the title of the message out of verse number 10. Verse number 10, you notice there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices. And I'm going to preach this morning on that subject, so many kinds of voices. Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless the message this morning? I pray, Holy Spirit, you do a work in our hearts. I pray for Christians today that we'll realize the many voices that are out there. And I pray for those maybe in here today that don't know Jesus as their Savior, that they'll hear that still small voice of God this morning. And Lord, that you'll tug at their heart and help them to know that you love them and you want them to be saved. You want them to have eternal life in heaven. And I pray that here in a little while, when we give an invitation, they'd be willing to let someone take a Bible and lead them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Lord, do a work today that only you can do, and we'll thank you for what you'll do, and we'll ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Keep your Bible open there in 1 Corinthians. Paul is writing this letter to the church at Corinth, which was and still is city-wise Corinth, Greece, in the country of Greece. This church was a well-mixed church with both Jews and Gentiles, with rich and poor, with young and old, with new Christians as well as some that were seasoned believers. Just like any church, this church had its difficulties. There are no perfect churches. This church had its difficulties. And Paul is addressing some of those issues in this first letter to the church at Corinth. Look at chapter number 1 with me. If you would, I want to show you just a few of those. We're not going to dissect the entire book of 1 Corinthians today, but he's dealing with some issues in this church. So they faced some division within the church. In chapter 1 and verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? All right, so Paul here is dealing with some divisions within the church, saying, hey, we're all the children of God. We're all on the same team here. There is no of Paul and of Peter and so forth. Not only that, but in this church at Corinth, There were some that were carnal. That means that they were led by their flesh instead of being led by the Spirit of God. And Paul had to deal with that. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not yet carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Okay, so there were some carnal people in the church. There were some divisions, there were some fighting and some complaining in the church. I know you wouldn't believe this if it wasn't in the Bible, but you know, this church was also, some in this church were being mean to the preacher. You would never think that happens. At least that's what every Bible college graduate believes, that no one's ever mean to the preacher. He just drives nice vehicles and wears suits and gets birthday presents. Look at chapter 4. Look what he says in chapter 4 and verse number 3. He said, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord." There are some folks in that church that were judging him. And it goes on into chapter 9 where he feels like he has to defend himself there as the preacher, as a preacher of the gospel. Now, so that's going on. There was some public in-your-face sin that was not being dealt with, and so Paul had to deal with that in chapter number 5. There were church members that were taking other church members to court, and Paul had to deal with that in chapter number 6. There were questions that arose. 1 Corinthians is full of trouble that's being dealt with. And aren't you glad that when we have trouble, God tells us exactly how to deal with it, exactly how to handle things in our lives. So in chapter 7, some had raised questions about being pure before you're married. Some had raised questions about fornication. Some had raised questions about whether it's okay to remarry if you've had a spouse that died or gone through a divorce. And chapter 7, he writes and deals with some of those concerns. And it goes on and on and on all the way throughout the book of 1 Corinthians. And by the way, that's one purpose of a pastor, is to help steer the church in the right direction biblically. Now, chapter 14 that we just read in our text is known as the tongues chapter of the Bible. Now, let me just state emphatically, you cannot find the charismatic tongues of today that you see on TV. You cannot find those in the Bible. You cannot. I don't care if you've heard it yourself. You cannot. You What? Well, the two main biblical rules that get violated immediately. One is you have to have an interpreter. And they always do that, ramble on, then they just go right into their message. They sound so spiritual, but not a person in that room knows what they just said. And number two, in this chapter, it deals with ladies being silent in a church, and it's in this context and in this setting. And how many charismatic lady preachers are out there with all this stuff? Tongues in the Bible is simply a known existing language of the earth that is just simply not known to a particular gathered group of people. Period. That's not opinion. That's what the Bible teaches. It would be as if I came in here today and said, a couple months ago, I did a graduation, high school graduation in Mesquite. There are a lot of Hispanic people in that Christian school. And so some of them no habla inglés. And so if I got up and preached, man, just a powerful message, and they didn't understand me, I would be to them as a barbarian. I would do nothing to edify them. They had no clue what I was saying. If they got up and began to, and I had 2 years of Spanish, but if they got up and used more than five Spanish words, I would not understand what they were saying. And so you know what? The night that I preached that at graduation, I had a Hispanic man right beside me. And I would say, Jesus loves you. And he's like, oh, Jesus Cristo loves you. Because I don't know the other words. And then I'd say, and God wants you to do good after your graduation. And he would say, and I would look at him. And at one time I said, kind of hard to translate redneck, isn't it? And he just laughed at me. That's all it is in the Bible. You cannot make anything else of it. Corinth is on a peninsula there, the Grecian peninsula. And so there are waters all around it and people are traveling. It's a corridor. They're traveling through that country. And Paul is telling them, you cannot let someone get up and preach a Russian message unless somebody's telling these Greek people what he's actually saying. Now, this message is not about that, but you can believe whatever you want about the charismatic tongue craze of today. But you will not find it taught in the Word of God. Now, here's what I've heard said. Well, but I've seen it for myself. I've experienced it for myself. That's great. Still can't find it in the Bible. In fact, what did Peter say? Peter said, I heard the voice of God. I saw the Lord Jesus Christ, our hands have handled of the Word of life. He said, I heard it. I saw it. He said, and we have a more sure Word of prophecy. That's hard to understand, but he said, I heard the voice of God. I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And this book right here will tell you everything you need to know about anything God wants you to know. And I don't care what you experienced. I don't know where it came from, but it did not come from the Word of God. It can't, because that's not what the Word of God teaches. Let me explain it for just a moment here and then get in. Because I do want you, I use the passage for a launching pad, but I do want you to understand the basics of the passage, at least the part that I read to you. So go back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And when common sense makes perfect sense, seek no other sense. So once you read through this with just a little common biblical sense, it makes sense to you. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1, he's talking to a church that had a lot of people that were show-offs. Chapter 12 talks about spiritual gifts, and he's trying to calm them down a little bit, these new Christians. I've told you before about the young lady that sung in our church years ago now, probably about 15 years ago, and she, it was her first time to ever sing in church, and you know, the American Idol craze, all that was out there, and she sung, and people said amen when she got done, and she said, oh, and walked off like, what? All right, you're off the island. Get out of here. What are you doing? This is not entertainment. They just simply didn't. She didn't know. She just thought people were thanking her for singing or whatever. She didn't know that she was up here to bring honor and glory to God. So these people are young Christians. They didn't know. And so he's telling them, you know what? Don't, you can't get up and just show off. Hey, look what I learned this week. I learned Chinese. Ping, pow, tang, tao. Yeah. What did that do to help anybody? All right, so look at it here, chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Prophesy has really two definitions. One is preach. The other is proclaim, to proclaim truth, to proclaim the gospel. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. If I get up here and speak in Vietnamese, I mean, unless you're just really smart and you know that language, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. God knows the language. He gave all the languages, right? For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So, it's a mystery to you. What in the world is he saying up there? He might be singing, Jesus loves me. I have no clue because I don't know the language. But he that prophesies, just clearly preaches, clearly teaches, clearly proclaims some truth like a Sunday school teacher would, speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that you all spake with tongues. You know, that would be great if we all knew another language, right? We'd be able to reach a lot more people for the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth, that proclaims truth in the language of the people you're around, than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. Interpret it. When a missionary gets up here, I am not impressed by their other language. They need to interpret what they just said because they did nothing but show off if they do not tell us what they just said in another language. And most of the time they do. He said that they need to interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? And Paul spoke with several tongues, several languages. Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge, by prophesying, by doctrine, and even things without life. And he's talking about, again, those instruments. Verse 9, so likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. Now, I know that we East Texans, some of us, we don't enunciate. I get that. And we're foreign in some other states. Dr. Bob Smith, you'll know him. He preaches that message, grace heaped upon grace. Grace heaped upon grace. He preached that out in California at Jack Treber's church one time there in Santa Clara. And I remember watching this on a video. He went back a couple years later and Brother Treber said, Brother Smith, when you preached, he said, I thought you were preaching grace heaped to bone grace. Grace heaped to bone grace. And he said, I didn't know if that was a Greek word, a bone or what. I was trying to figure it out. He was trying to figure out that East Texan. So I get that. But it says here, if we don't know the voice there, verse 9, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. And none of them is without signification. All right? They're all important. They're all their own language. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. He that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, ye, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Okay? He said, I know you want to get up and show what God's done in your life, but you got a lot of different cultures here. But you don't get up and sing some song in a language no one else in that church knows unless you interpret or have someone else interpret. He tells that later on in the chapter. Now, notice verse number 10, and we're going to get on with the message here. He says in verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. And we would all agree this morning that there are so many kinds of voices in the world today. My question to you is this. What voices are you listening to? Young people, what voices are you listening to? There are so many kinds of voices. I thought about the crazy voices that are all over the place. What about, like, for some of you guys, maybe some of you girls, but sports radio, sports talk shows. I've always found that interesting. A bunch of out of shape, overweight guys sitting around a table telling us how the quarterback should have thrown the ball the day before. Makes no sense at all. I looked at some of these titles, The View. God help you. I hope you don't watch that trash. But they have one called The View. They have one called The Talk. They have, Fox has one called The Five. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm just saying there are so many kinds of voices in the world today. People can give their opinion recklessly. People can say what they want. A preacher friend of mine has someone mad at him, and the person keeps writing bad reviews about their church, and then they'll come up with a fake name so they can leave another bad review. I mean, God's judgment is going to fall on this world one day. Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, blogs, podcasts, YouTube channels. Beside all of that, people's opinions. You know, you can have that in this church also. I'm not trying to be ugly, but just because you're a senior does not give you the right to give everybody an opinion on everything. It does not give you the right. The Bible says the hoary head, the gray head, the white head is supposed to be found in the way of righteousness. Do right. That means you've got to control your tongue also. But I would say this, just to encourage everyone in here about people's reckless opinions. If you wouldn't seek their counsel, don't worry about what their opinion is. Because there's always going to be someone in your life that has something to say. The radio, the TV, the social media, the this, the that, and yak, and yak, and yak, and yak, and so many kinds of voices in the world. What Paul was concerned with here at the church at Corinth was that the voices that they were listening to would build them up spiritually. Look at it again in chapter 14 and verse number 2. All right, we spent a lot of time looking at just the idea of tongues and languages and all that, and you can have a difference of opinion on this subject matter if you want to, and you'd still be wrong because it's not what the Bible. If it's opposite of what I just said, it is not what the Bible teaches. You cannot find it in the Bible. But what the entire reason why Paul was raising such an issue about it was he was saying, and listen, because the comparison with the thought of the message is, what Paul was saying is, I want to make sure that the voices that you're hearing are building you up in your Christian life. Look at chapter 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. He ain't helping anybody, is what he said. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. He says, I want you to get help. Verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He said, I want somebody that's going to help you with their voice. Verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. He might be having a good old time praising God, but he ain't helping anybody. But he that prophesieth just clearly presents a truth, edifieth the church. Look at verse 5. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. Why? Why? That the church may receive edifying. I want you to be built up. One more verse. Verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? All right. Do the voices, Christians today, do the voices that you listen to all week long, do they build you up? Do they instruct you? Do they encourage you? Do they profit you? Our children learned the little Bible song. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above looks down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Look up here now. Wake up just a little bit. Look up here. This is what goes on all week, all day, every day in our society today. You can read an article on Fox News, and if you thumb all the way down the page, guess what? They open it up for comments. Everybody has an opinion. But you know, too often it's our own voice that gets us into trouble. I'm amazed how many Christians will lie to you. The lies, the excuses, the justification, the manipulative words, the criticism of others to make ourselves feel better about where we are. You know, the Bible says, in the multitude of words that wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. So many kinds of voices. Now, with a multitude of talking heads in the world today, I just want to take a few minutes here to remind us all of a few voices that we actually need in our life. Y'all realize we lived before social media? You realize we lived before we had to give everybody our opinion? Show everybody what we ate the night before and tell everybody how God's dead and we're having such a bad day. You know, we lived before we had social media to post whether or not we had fuel money. We lived without that. We lived without showing our selfies and our daily weight loss or our daily weight gain or whatever, you know. It's a powerful tool. It's a horrible toy. You know, we lived. Maybe we worked a little harder in our yard or our houses were a little cleaner. But we live without having to comment on everybody's blog and now this is the way you tape a diaper and now this is the way you fix a car and now these are actually those I've read those are bad for you vitamins, but these are good. Man, why don't we just get back to living our own life? And not having to get attention from the world. Who we need attention from is God. So I want to remind us all of a few voices that we need in our life this morning. Turn to Colossians chapter number 3, if you would. Colossians chapter number 3. And you say, preacher, why are you so down on social media? Well, there are a lot of reasons to be down on it. But One main reason is I think it's replaced the voices we do need to hear, because we're spending all our time waiting to see how many likes we got, how many comments we got, how many happy birthdays we got. There are some other voices, though, that we need to hear. Number one, we need to hear the voice of God's Word. The voice of God's Word. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, but friend, I believe that the King James Bible, the King James 1611 Bible, is the preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people. I believe from cover to cover, word for word, I believe we have an every word Bible. And this is not the words of Paul, not the words of Peter, not the words of David or Moses. This is the very Word of God from front to back. And when I read the Bible, I am hearing the voice of God. Because though He used men to pen the words, and though He made their personality fit the words of the letter and the writing, I believe every word is exactly what God wanted on paper and preserved for us today. We need to hear the voice of God's Word. Look at Colossians chapter 3 there. Look at verse number 15. Verse 15. And let the, what's that next word? Let the what? Peace. Isn't it amazing how much time we spend online, how many people have no peace in their life? And let the peace of God rule, control, rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And here it is. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. He said there, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. I don't think, you know, you do what you want. Obviously, you're going to answer to God. But I don't see how watching 6 or 8 hours of news all day is going to put a peaceful heart in you. I don't see how social media all day long and the anxiety of, am I getting attention? Is anybody noticing? Is anybody going to cash at me now because I whined enough? And I'm not mocking you, but I'm saying, folks, we're not going to make it through this crazy world we live in today if we don't get the right voices. And the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And boy, we get offended because somebody didn't notice what we posted. It's silly. You don't get peace from social media. If you don't have social media, I'm not here to control you. That's up to you. But you don't get peace from social media. More kids commit suicide today because of social media. You don't get peace. Peace, by definition, is a state of quiet or tranquility. Peace is sitting on your back porch, on your porch swing, drinking coffee, and the rain's coming in, and there's no one's talking. Are y'all with me on this? You don't get peace from Fox News. Breaking news. All right, what's the breaking news? Same thing that happened for the last 3 days that was breaking news. Breaking news used to be, all right, we've invaded. It's Desert Storm, Schwarzkopf. Y'all remember going home that Sunday from church and CNN had it. And it's like, wow. And now you read the headline, breaking news. Like, that has been breaking news for the last 15 days. You don't get peace from that. You don't get peace from watching those talk shows where people are arguing and fighting over everything. I don't get peace from a Donald Trump speech. We need his strong leadership, but he ain't our spiritual leader. And I do not like the man and never have. But God help us where we are right now. You don't get peace from sports radio. I've never been a fan of that, but we do find great peace in spending time in the Word of God, in getting God's perfect direction for our life. I'm just having so much inner turmoil. I think I'll make another TikTok video. And it's funny, but true. Well, I just want to tell you what, I've got so many things going on in my life. My nerves are shot. I'm having to pop pills to go to sleep. Pop pill. We got more druggies in church than they do sometimes on the streets of Philadelphia. But they're prescribed. And I got to have all these pills. So maybe we wouldn't if we'd take a break from just all the talk everywhere. just all the talk and all the opinions and the fighting and the turmoil and the Democrats and the Republicans and this country and that country and this talk show host and that talk show host and this over here. And she ain't going to do that again on social media, because I tell you what, I'm going to put this right back on there. And all this, and we have so much turmoil, and we've just learned, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. He tells me I'm His own. But no, a lot of Christians, they have no peace, have no direction, are not getting healing from things in their life because they think that that right there is going to do it. We need to hear the voice of God's Word. Are you hearing the voice of God's Word? Are you hearing the voice of God's Word speak to you today as I preach it? Did you hear the voice of God's Word in Sunday school? Did you hear the voice of God's Word last night before you went to bed, or this morning when you woke up? Friend, listen, there's a lot of stuff out there, but we need the voice of God's Word. Let me say secondly, still there in Colossians 3, so many kind of voices. We need the voice of godly music. We need the voice of godly music. There in chapter 3, look at verse 15 again. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Songs about drinking and divorce are not going to bring peace to your heart. Songs about drugs and fornication and murder, they're not going to bring peace to your hearts. Songs about rebelling against authority, they're not going to bring peace to your hearts. But good godly music, by the way, with words or without words, will soothe the soul and will bring peace. That's why preachers like me are so against these churches today that are turning their platform into a little rock concert. We don't need flesh-driven stuff. We need, this world needs peace today. We need peace in our heart, and that's the peace that comes from godly music. Many of you know the story in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when the Bible said about King Saul that the Spirit of God departed from Saul. Now, we know that in the New Testament day and age, the Spirit of God never leaves us. And there's a whole teaching on that. But He did in the Old Testament. So the Spirit of God departed from Saul. And the Bible says that a spirit, an evil spirit from God, came upon Saul. And when that evil spirit from God came upon Saul, Saul was very troubled. He was very worked up. He was peaceless. He was very on edge. And that's when David came to his house. And what did David do? All he did was play the harp. And the Bible said when he played that harp that it was soothing. It was soothing. Don't do this, but if you ever have a bad headache, just go turn on some loud rock music and see how well you get. If you ever have a stomach ache, you just aren't feeling well, go ahead and crank up some dumb rap music or some crazy, and all that stuff. Crank all that up. It's going to make you more sick. But you put on some classical music, or you put on some piano music that is gospel hymns, or you put on some great hymnal songs, some God-honoring songs, and man, it just brings a soothing to you. And I'm saying to you, there are so many kinds of voices in the world, but there are a few that we really need to hear from every day. One is the voice of God's Word. One is the voice of godly music. Let me give you another voice that we need to hear in our life, though a lot of people would say this is not true. But we need the voice of God's men in our life. We need the voice of biblical preachers. And not so we can be entertained because it's our one kind of preacher style that we like. You can get something from anybody's preaching. If they take a Bible and they preach the Word of God, I don't care if it's a Brother J.C. House who gets up and doesn't run around, doesn't spit, but every word that comes out of his mouth is a word of wisdom. Or the kind that gets up and he's up and down on the pews and all of that, as long as there's a Bible message in it. But don't get so caught up in the antics of the preaching. that you say, oh, that's my favorite preacher because he does a certain thing. You need to listen to the message of the preaching because we need to hear the voice of God's men. John the Baptist, the Bible says about him in John 1:19, this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then, art thou Elijah? And he said, I'm not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And this is what that one preacher said. He said, I am the voice of one. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. As your pastor here at Trinity, I am the voice of one. But there are many preachers out there. And I want you to know, preaching will help you if you let it. If you let it. One of the benefits of internet is now you can go back and you can listen to any kind of church service. You can go back and find preachers of the past. Just make sure they're Bible preachers and they're teaching truth. God said this to the preachers, to the prophets in Isaiah 58, verse number 1. He said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. And again, there are many personalities when it comes to preaching, but we've lost the trumpet voices. And we've gotten this place where a lot of guys will go sit on a stool behind a plastic lectern and they never raise their voice. And it's almost a soft. And maybe the lesson is good. Maybe the lesson is powerful. But there is a difference between teaching and preaching. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he said, Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove. That's kind of a mild, hey, let's get it together. Rebuke, that's a foot stomping and dealing with sin. Exhort, that's encourage and challenge and warn with all long suffering and doctrine. He said, hey, you know, everyone's on a different spiritual level. Be long suffering with them, but teach doctrine, preach doctrine. And make sure that what you're preaching is not passed down to you from your favorite preacher, but it's teaching and preaching from the Word of God. But oh, how we need the voice of God's men. I know that we don't agree with everything that Billy Graham taught in his older age. He kind of fell off on some things and maybe misstated things or whatever. But I tell you what. There aren't any preachers getting an audience with presidents anymore. That's the world we're living in. We don't want the preachers. The state of Michigan this week, the House in Michigan voted that it is a felony to not call a guy a girl if he wants to be called a girl. A felony. A felony. They're waiting on the Senate there to pass it. A felony. Meaning if I get up and say, if you're a guy, you're a guy, period. If you're a girl, you're a girl, period. It could be a fine and no less than, I think, a maximum of 5 years in jail. A felony. Because you didn't play pretend. And we covered that last week. A felony. I know you believe it because you're here. Maybe you're just here and you don't believe it. We still need the voice of God's preachers. So many kinds of voices. And you need the voice of a preacher more than you need the voice of Joy Behr or Whoopi Goldberg. You need the voice of a preacher more than you need the voice of Sean Hannity or any of those people. Amen. We need the voice of preachers. That's what's going to help us. So many kinds of voices. Next is this. We need the voice of godly counselors. We need the voice of godly counselors. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 81:12 says, so I gave them up, God said, so I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. Too many Christians today are walking in their own counsel rather than seeking insight from godly people that God has placed around them. And I just want to give you this verse in Proverbs 24:6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors, there is safety. Who are your counselors? Well, my buddy at work, well, are they a spiritual counselor? Are they a godly counselor? Maybe they are. I hope they are. Are you walking in your own counsel? What's my life and I do it the way I want? But that's not what God teaches. So many kinds of voices. But there are a few voices that we need. We need the voice of God's Word every day, not just Wednesday night and Sunday. We need the voice of God's Word every day. We need the voice of godly music. If you need godly music, I'll help you get some. But boy, we need godly music in our life. We need the voice of God's man. We need the voice of God's preachers. We need the voice of godly counselors. We need some people around us that will tell us what we need to hear. And we know they have our best interests at heart. And we know that they love God. And they're going to give us biblical counsel. But we don't need to walk in our own counsel and just do it our way. But then lastly, there's one more voice that we need to hear. And I'm afraid this might be the voice that's ignored more than any other today. And that is the voice of God's Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." When Elijah, there in the Old Testament, heard the Holy Spirit's voice, the Bible says it was a still, small voice. I don't know if you've ever been around someone that had a still, small voice. There was one lady that is battling with Parkinson's, and she's really advanced. She's really up there, and every once in a while her medicines will kind of mess her up. And I was visiting at her house one day, and she just talked like this. And I felt bad because I thought, I can't hear her. And you know what I did? Don't miss it. So I ain't heard from God in forever. I don't hear God's voice. I had to get as close to her as I could. And I had to get as quiet as I could. But I'm really having some struggles right now, preacher. I hope I hear from God during these commercials. Well, I'm really having struggles right now, and I'm reading the Bible, and I know that's God speaking to me in and of itself, and I'm doing some that's good. But I can't tell you last time I heard that still small voice of God tugging at my heart. Oh, did you see what she said? Did you watch that video? When's the last time you heard the voice of God? We're going to have to get as close to God as possible. And we're going to have to get as still and as quiet. Guess what that means for me? Guess what that means for you? This right here is going to have to shut for a while too. The still small voice of God. The voice is still there if you're God's child. But we quench that voice long enough that our heart grows cold and hard. So how do you fix that? More Bible reading. God said, "My word is like a hammer. Breaks up that fallow ground." We need that voice. So many kinds of voices in the world. No doubt. You leave here, turn on your radio, turn on your XM satellite, whatever. You go home and there's the Sunday news talk shows, and they're armchair quarterbacking every political event, every Titanic sub that's here's what should have been done. Here's the whatever draft, I think NBA draft maybe was this week. And here's what should have done, and here's what those billionaires, this is what they should have done over here. And are y'all with me today? Is that not what our society is? Rattle, 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 rattle. My concern is not all of that. I may listen a little bit of that or watch a little bit of that or read a little bit of it from time to time. We shouldn't be consumed with that. But we got all of this going on, and we got every kind a social media account, and we got pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. I had to get some more pills this week because I couldn't sleep. And pray for me, preacher, because I have no peace. Great peace, great peace, great peace have they which love thy law. Yeah, there are so many kinds of voices out there, but there are a few voices that we must have in our life: the voice of God's word, the voice of godly music, the voice of God's man, the voice of godly counselors, and the voice of God's Holy Spirit. So my question is, what voices have you been listening to lately? And my challenge to you is, let's get back to listening to the edifying ones, the building up ones. Let's get back to the ones, as Paul was concerned with the church at Corinth, the ones that are profitable to us. All the debate, all the deceit, all the arguing that's going on in the world today. Friend, listen, that is not of God. That is not of God. For 23 years as pastor, I've steered clear of, even with independent Baptists, of a lot of fellowships and a lot of groups and a lot of circles and a lot of, I am who I am and I pastor where I pastor and I have my friends and I can go to anyone's church anywhere and do whatever, but I have refused to play politics because our life is not supposed to be surrounded by a lot of drama and arguing and nonsense and I'm better than you and I have more and I have less and I did this. I don't want that. I don't need that in my life. What I do need is the voice of God's Word. What I do need is some good, godly, soothing music. What I do need is the voice of preachers. This preacher still listens to preaching because I need the voice of God's preachers. I still need the voice of some godly counselors in my life who can give me direction. And oh, how I need to get really, really close and really, really quiet and say, God, I need to hear from you. Maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior. And there's never been a time in your life where you accepted Christ, where not just, you know, He brought you through a tough time or you said some prayer, but nothing ever changed. But I mean, a time where you realize that, you know what, one of these days I'm going to die. And biblically, I'm either going to heaven or I'm going to hell. And the difference is not church membership. The difference is not being a Baptist. The church, the difference is not baptism. The difference is, has there been a moment where I realized I was a sinner in need of salvation? And I asked God to forgive me of my sins and save my soul. And I put my faith in the completed work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Has there been that moment? I can look back and that moment was June of 1997 as a young adult. I remember that moment where I got saved. If you don't remember that moment, maybe today you need to get saved. Maybe today you need to get it settled. And I want you to know this is a great day to get your eternity settled forever, and you can. It's a free gift of salvation. And then you can start hearing from the voice of God. And you can start hearing from God's Word and all of those things.